is Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
That's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. A beautiful Saturday morning, so feel free to get online. We have a lot more time now, thanks to GoNetSpeed. Those guys were great to kind of make our show commercial-free. So no breaks in the middle of the half an hour. We'll be able to go all the way down talking about tech and helping you guys with your computer problems, thanks to GoNetSpeed. And it's a wonderful opportunity for them to do this for us. We really appreciate it, and hope you do too. It's going to be weird. We'll do our best to figure it out ourselves because there's a lot of muscle memory in radio. And hopefully I won't try to go to a break. No, I'll do my best not to do that. But we thank them very much. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help your help you with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So, Dennis.
Yes?
Snowflake.
Snowflake?
Yeah, it's not just a Gen Zer.
Oh. Or something that falls through the sky in winter.
It's not. No, it happens to be a data analytics firm in Boston.
Okay.
These guys are a cloud storage firm, and they seem to be at the root of one of the largest data breaches ever.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Ticketmaster. We've heard about this all over the news.
Yeah. Heard all about it.
They stuck their data in Snowflake.
Okay.
The biggest bank in Spain, Santander. Big data breach. They stuck their data in Snowflake.
Oh.
Advanced Auto Parts. Same problem.
They put their data there too, I guess.
They stuck their data in Snowflake. So here's the thing, guys, right? So now, of course, Snowflake, it's blaming the users. You're using it wrong.
Really?
Yes. They're saying when you stick your data in our cloud, make sure you use protection. Obviously, two-factor authentication.
Okay.
So that somebody can't compromise your account and get access to your data. So they're blaming their clients on the fact that their data is being exposed thanks to them.
Now, let me understand this.
Yes.
They have a breach that crossed multiple clients.
Multiple clients.
And it's
millions
all of those
and millions
clients'
fault.
Yes. Really?
That's what they're saying.
Okay, I'm not quite sure how that works, but hey, what do I know? I'm not a cloud vendor.
Exactly. So Breach Forums, this is a organization that the FBI, I think, brought down, and now they're back already in business, is actually posting more company data related to the Snowflake incident. So they posted 380 million customer details from financial services company LendingTree. Oh, isn't that great?
Oh, wow. Isn't that great?
Yeah. So here's the thing, guys. I mean, this is we have an actual story about this almost every Saturday. There's some sort of data breach incident. And again, it tends to be around cloud companies where other companies have stuck their data there. And it's usually based on a model where the cloud company says, you know, you want to use our analytical tools, you have to rent them from us in our cloud.
Right.
And that way they get that perpetual rental revenue coming in. And they can charge you whatever they want to charge you for having access to their analytical models and data. And that, but you got to put your stuff, your data,
into their cloud.
You got to stick it in their cloud.
You can't have it on your own premises or in your own existing cloud. You've
right.
got to have it in theirs too.
Right. And so you got to be careful where you stick your data, right? So maybe this model of cloud computing maybe needs to be thought of differently. Maybe if you're a big company like Ticketmaster or LendingTree or Advanced Auto Parts or Santander, you say to yourself, you know what, before I stick my data in there, might you have this software available in an on-prem way where I can run it on my servers so I can be responsible for my customers' data? Because now both companies are embarrassed. Snowflake is wickedly embarrassed.
I would hope so.
Yep. And, of course, if you stuck your data there, you're embarrassed. But guess what? You, who stuck your data there, are the ultimate responsible party because you chose to stick your data in this cloud. And it's got to stop, right? I mean, either we have to have penalties from these legislatures that say, look, you have to pay somebody, you know, $100 per record.
Whoa.
That would be a big fee.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean,
for some of these companies have millions and millions of records.
Right. maybe they would think twice before they stuck their data in the cloud. I'm not against the idea of cloud, but clearly they can't protect our data. And maybe this model is a bad idea. Yeah. If you're Snowflake, maybe you're going to be thinking to yourself, you know what? No one's going to want to stick their data in my cloud anymore. I should probably offer my tools so that they can load it on their local servers and run their analytical models locally and with all the compute they want, right? If you're a business like Santander or whatever, you've got plenty of access to compute power and data storage. You don't need to rent it from the software provider.
Right.
That's a new...
The other thing that Snowflake could do is keep their software in their cloud.
Right.
But then have API connectors, which are essentially encrypted tunnels.
Right.
To the different customers that they have that feed data from whatever source they are using.
Right.
And
it keeps it separate.
Right. It keeps it separate and it's more secure because the data all exists only in one place, not in two.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but it would seem like this model is a bad one for both the provider of the tools, in this case, Snowflake, and, of course, the folks who stick their data in those providers of those tools, who then blame you for not configuring two-factor authentication on your account. So, yeah, you use the password, but you know, if you configured 2FA, they wouldn't have gotten in.
Well, the question I have is, you know, having 2FA is all great, but how did they have so many customers all breached at the same time? There's got to be some kind of exploit that was used to get into Snowflake systems.
Well, according to Brad Jones, Snowflake's chief information security officer, he said in a blog post that threat actors used login details to accounts that had been purchased or obtained through info-stealing malware, which is designed to pull usernames and passwords from devices. So
they did use credentials. They didn't use an exploit.
That's what Brad says. And they targeted campaign directed at users with single factor authentication, Jones said. So that's again, that's blaming your customer.
Right.
So Brad, you're the chief information security officer. Might you force your new users to have 2FA in order to use your product there, Brad? If you're the chief, you're sitting back and wondering, you're allowing your customers to stick millions of records in your cloud and not require them to turn on 2FA, Mr. Chief Security Officer?
Even Microsoft is beginning to do that with 365 tenants. They're rolling out forced 2FA.
Right. And so the funniest thing about
all this.
Why not
them?
Well, exactly. The funniest thing is even CrowdStrike finds it had no evidence of any kind of attack that was caused by compromised credentials. So
what?
It's not an attack, guys. It's how you've configured your bank, right? And so I guess if we walk into the bank and the vault's wide open, right? And I walk in there with my cash and I walk right in there and I place my cash on the shelf in the bank vault door and I walk out. Possibly I could grab somebody else's cash and walk out with me if that's how the bank worked. But even the bank realized that's probably a bad idea. We probably have to have it go through a teller and have them put the money in the bank.
Right.
That's the case since the, 1800s. Somehow Brad didn't figure out you should turn on two-factor authentication. So I'm not poking at Brad too much here, but you got to be kidding me, right? You know, that's your excuse. These guys didn't properly secure your account. So guys, these big corporations, you're sticking your stuff in these clouds. You're not configuring two-factor authentication. The cloud provider thinks it's your fault. It's both your faults.
It is.
Right? And we're the victims. We're the victims of it.
Yeah.
And the reason we get so excited about this as IT people, and not in a nice way, we get angry about it, is because we hear of compromises that occur thanks to this stupidity. Right? Yeah. So now the bad guys are going to harvest this data, and they're going to call somebody up. I can give you an example. Something happened to one of our clients just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
The person thought he was getting a call from Citibank.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Citibank.
No.
The guy even said to me, it was kind of weird they gave me a Microsoft number that'd be malicious, Eric. I'm like, it wasn't Citibank that called you. Right? So they called him and said, your Citibank account's compromised. We think it's an issue with the security on your computer. We're going to have you talk to Microsoft. And they gave him a bad Microsoft number that was Russians. And the Russians dutifully hacked his. And before you know it, he's moving money.
Oh.
Right?
That's how
crazy it is. So it wasn't a hack. They just socially engineered him because he happened to have a Citibank account. Now, did they know he had the account because of these type of breaches? Or did they take a shot and get lucky? Because a lot of people have Citibank accounts.
I'm kind of leaning toward the information from a breach. Because there's so much of it out there now.
So
and
it makes
the bad guys all have access to it.
And it makes their calls look and feel real.
Yep.
That's phishing. This is voice phishing. They're calling you, spear phishing you. Hey, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Let him out. That's what's happening. In the old days, they used to have Prince Albert, which was what? That was that tobacco, right? So this is the same thing. They're calling as if they're Citibank. They're telling you you have a problem with your Microsoft computer. I want you to call Microsoft. They give them the fake Microsoft number. You talk to a Russian bad guy. And before you know it, he's moving money out of your bank account. Literally, it's what happened.
Yeah.
It's because of these breaches. So you see on the news, people are talking about what are you supposed to do to protect yourself? And they talk to the man on the street. Well, I'm going to pay attention to my stuff and I'm going to take care and make sure I pay attention to it. Really? If Citibank calls you, and you happen to have Citibank or Santander, somebody from Santander, who's not from Santander,
right,
calls you and says your bank account ending in XYZ PDQ because they had the bank account number.
Right, exactly. Right? That's the kind of detail that you get from a breach that sells the call.
Right. You cannot think in a million years you're going to be able to defend yourself from those calls unless you're as cynical as me and haven't had a glass of Merlot. Right?
Right.
Because you have to, no company on the planet is going to care enough to call you.
Right.
If you
No, they don't call. No, never.
So when you're getting a call from somebody saying this is happening, this is your breach, immediately hang up, or you can play with them and say, oh, really? But it's up to you. Hang up, call your institution knowing whatever number you have to make sure that you're not being scammed.
Right.
These breaches are a huge problem.
They are.
And Snowflake is blaming their customers for sticking their data in the cloud. You and I are now going to be victims. Mm-hmm. And nobody cares, right? No penalties.
They don't. Because it doesn't cost them anything.
No.
They're embarrassed for a little while.
Right.
And they have a little bad publicity.
Right.
But after, you and I are done talking about it a couple weeks from now, nobody's going to give a crap and nothing ever changes.
But millions of dollars are going to be swindled out of people's banks and pockets.
Exactly. And it's all going to happen over the course of another, 2-3 years?
Right.
I mean, these things are going to trickle out.
Right.
I guarantee, I'm saying 2 years from now, we're going to hear about something that happened someplace.
Oh, yeah.
And it was backtracked to this particular event.
So we'll put the link up here from Wired. Does a great story on this, talking about what happened, what they think happened. Largest data breaches ever. And that's after MoveIt, which was
the largest data breach ever. Same kind of problem.
Right.
Forcing customers to move their own data to someone else's cloud
intermediary
in order to work with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a good idea. So there's that story. We'll put up there. What else you got there, Dennis?
Well, I got a story about Adobe.
Adobe, okay.
Yeah, Adobe, what happened was that it appears that they changed their terms of service a few months ago.
Okay.
And it appears to have been triggered by their desire to help you work with your documents.
Right.
Anybody who's been using Adobe Reader over the past few months has been prompted to...
Can I help you understand your document? Right.
So, I mean, somebody sent you an invoice and they're going to help you understand it.
Right.
And apparently they think you need to be told by Adobe Reader that you have to pay $550 for something.
Ooh.
And you can't figure that out by reading the invoice. No, okay.
That's too much heavy lifting.
This is just the whole premise of it is just insane to begin with.
Right.
But at any rate, they started doing this.
Yeah.
And it appears the terms of service were slightly modified to accommodate what this is doing. And just recently, somebody found out that the terms of service changed and it caused a major kerfuffle on the internets.
Right.
And, we've read a number of stories about this because it is a controversy and Adobe has had to try to explain it.
Right.
And different people have weighed in and said, well, the terms of service haven't really changed all that much. In the end, they've always had access to your data. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Well, how do they move it around if they don't have access to it?
When they look at it, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
They have access. If they wanted to scrape it, they could, but they don't technically have access to it, but I hear what you're saying.
Correct.
Now they have AI scraping it, literally,
now
that, reading
right.
it.
Now, the addition is the AI, right.
Right.
And now it's become a big blowout with the user community for Adobe products.
Right.
And you've got people talking about using other products than Adobe's.
Right.
You know, getting rid of their subscriptions.
Right.
And it's all because of this slight change.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an article here from The Verge.
Yeah.
That says Adobe's new terms of service aren't the problem. It's the trust.
Right.
And that is what this boils down to.
Right.
You know, they've opened the door to this AI scraping where they do analysis of your documents instead of just moving them around for you.
Right. Formatting them.
Yeah. And formatting them and then, you know, setting it up so that you can read the text that's in them and things like that.
Right.
But now it's an issue, and
yeah.
it's only because the users are now distrustful
right.
of companies like Adobe.
Or any of these companies. All,
well, right. I mean, it isn't just their issue. I mean, no. there's a trust issue with everything.
Yeah. I've got an idea for a screenplay, and I do not know where I can type my idea in without thinking one of these companies is grabbing it. Right. I mean,
yeah.
it's a novel idea. I think it's novel. And the problem is, does the AI think it's novel, too? And oh, that's interesting. I think I'll take that idea, Eric.
Right.
If you're an attorney, you use PDF constantly in your work. Do you want your contracts read by Adobe?
Right. Do you want your
Or do I even need an attorney?
Do you want your client's private documents being read by Adobe?
Right. Or do you want the client to say to himself, you know what, I'll just use Adobe's logic and ask Adobe if
that
the contract
too.
Is even any good, you know?
That too.
I know you're practicing law, but Adobe will say, well, this contract is junk, and you're not going to be able to do anything with that. Thanks, Adobe. You know, so this is really a mess, and it's not something you asked for. It's something
right.
they stuck in there. And
yes.
are they – so the thing also about it is even though you haven't selected that they can actually look at it, have they already looked at it? You don't even know if they've – like with Amazon Alexa, you don't know. We kept telling people, they're listening, guys. It's listening all
they
the time.
Are.
Oh, it's only listening for a specific word. Okay. They're listening all the time.
But it's still listening. The key word in that sentence is listening.
Right. So it took forever for people to understand that they're listening. And, of course, then people decide whether or not that's okay. In this case, are they reading it before they've asked you if permission to read it or not? I would contend they're probably reading it. I wouldn't
yeah.
guess they're not.
They would have to be.
And when they changed the EULA, those EULAs, you have to agree – by default, before you even bring up the software, really.
Correct.
And you've agreed to give them whatever they've asked for and your firstborn.
Right. And in a lot of cases, you're paying money for this software.
Right.
So if you don't agree to the EULA, all of this money that you've been spending on their software
right.
becomes
away.
Useless.
Right. Because you
and
can't.
It's worth nothing now.
Right.
And you've just thrown all that money away.
Ugly, 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 ugly. So we'll put this up there for you. But these AI companies need your data. They want your data. They need to keep scraping it and scraping it and scraping it to get smarter and smarter and smarter. And you're the one that's making it possible for them. And like I said, if I use Google Docs, does Google Docs get my screenplay idea? If I use Word, is Microsoft grabbing it? I don't know anymore. I literally have to be Jimmy Carter and start writing it down in paper and pencil. Because that's what he always said was a secure way to go.
Or you can, in the case of what you wanted to do, what I suggested.
Yes.
Spin up a virtual machine that runs Linux.
Right.
Install LibreOffice on it.
Right.
It might already be included in the distribution, but just write your document out there.
Right. That's how crazy it's gotten.
Yeah. It is insane.
And am I paranoid about it? I don't know. Maybe I am. But it's these types of ideas you don't even tell your friends about, right? Let alone your favorite IT company like Adobe, right? Do you want to tell them about it?
No.
I mean, it's, you know, the idea is not that big a deal. But the point is that it's given me pause. And so I think it should give you pause, too.
Yes.
What else we got?
Oh, I've got a story about a vulnerability that had been in Cox modems.
Oh, boy.
Now, these are modems, and
cable modems. Users
don't normally do anything with them.
Right.
They're black boxes. Mm-hmm. You fire them up and they connect you to the internet.
Yep.
Well, it turns out that a large number of Cox modems had an exploit available in them that someone could have run malicious code on them.
Jeez. On the modem itself.
On the modem itself. So this is not anything that you would even be able to do anything about, even if it were happening.
Right. It's at your front door, really.
Right. And it's in your network. It's right in the, focal point of your network.
Right.
Everything that goes in and out, it goes out through that modem.
And if you don't have a firewall that's your own, you're not going to be able to protect yourself from this thing. Correct.
But even with a firewall, you're all of your data going to and from the internet is still transiting that modem.
Gotcha. So even the firewall might not have protected you from this exploit?
Correct, because the firewall literally has to let that traffic in or out in order for you to, let's say you connect to a website.
Right.
All right? Well, it has to allow that for you to see the website and interact with it.
Right.
And that's transiting that modem. All of that data transits that modem, and it does it in plain text.
Gotcha. So what happened then? Is there any kind of course, everyone always says, we haven't seen this been exploit being used in the wild yet, I suspect.
Well, yeah, Cox kind of said that, but they did fix the exploit. They got
good.
They got notified, and that's one of the reasons why some people will notice, like, around midnight, and when they're at home, suddenly the internet doesn't seem to work so well for a couple minutes. Well, I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
It's because your provider just refreshed the firmware on your modem,
right,
and it rebooted.
Right.
And you didn't even know it.
Right.
And that's how they operate. And it's kind of how they have to, because they have to be able to provision those things periodically.
And if you're a small business and you haven't updated your firmwares on your firewalls, on your WAC access points, your WAPs, on your switches, on even your printers, on your servers, right? There's so many devices that have to have this technology updated, because even if your stuff's in the cloud, guys, it's going through your stuff.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure those devices get updated so that you're better protected in the long run. And so many folks don't do that. They just keep running the old stuff, and it's sitting there with a bunch of exploits, and you have no idea just how vulnerable you are.
Right. You don't, literally.
So keep updating your stuff. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open. Much more time to chat with you guys. Thanks to GoNetSpeed, getting rid of the commercials during the half an hour, the chunks of time that we're on. So we're very excited about that. Can't thank them enough. And they did it for you.
That's right.
They did it for the peeps.
Yes, they did it as part of the public service.
Because Dennis and I still don't get a penny for doing what we're doing, which is fine by us. We're going to be here till 11. Get online, 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll post these stories to computertalkwithtab.com, which is the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNetSpeed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, and there will not be a break between now and then. Thanks
really?
To GoNetSpeed. Yeah.
Yay, thank you, GoNetSpeed.
So we're very appreciative of this, and hopefully we'll spend more time with you guys. The calls are all coming in. 860-522-9842 is the number. And no matter where you are in the country, if you have a cell phone, it shouldn't cost you anything to call us. Thanks to the power of voice over IP.
Hey.
So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Jenny in Berlin next. What's happening, Jenny?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I love your show. I listen to it, and I tell everybody to listen to it.
That's great. We appreciate
Thank you.
That.
But and I learn a lot, you know. So, but here's a good one for you.
Uh-oh.
So I helped my nephew buy a new computer, which he did. He just got, a regular old Gateway. And the only thing he's done on it so far is install a version of Microsoft Office.
A version,
right. So I think it's 2019.
Okay.
All right.
one that's installed on your hard drive versus 365.
Yep.
Yep.
But the problem is that when he goes to Excel and he goes to save a file, it only gives him a selection to save a file to the OneDrive. It doesn't give him a local.
Yeah, you have to, what you have to do, somewhere in that dialogue, there's going to be what looks like a little folder, and it says browse my computer or browse other location.
I tried that, and it doesn't give a local option.
Hmm. That's unusual, especially with Office 2019. It shouldn't be that draconian.
Yeah, it's actually designed to know that it can save to local.
Right. And I looked at my computer because my computer is about the same age and I have the same kind of similar situation. And I could see the local drive no problem, even though OneDrive is a selection. So I tried installing the OneDrive thinking, well, maybe if I uninstall it, you know, and then it still doesn't give me a selection to go to a hard drive.
Even removing OneDrive, huh?
Yep.
That's unusual.
Well, what does it allow you to save it? I mean, where does it allow you to save the files if OneDrive isn't even there?
So what it is it looks like OneDrive is kind of there still. It's just your selection on your desktop is not there. So right now I did a save as, and the only thing I could do is go to OneDrive, and that's it.
So, this is definitely an issue. I'm looking at lots of posts here from the Microsoft community, especially in 2019 too. So it is something you find.
Well,
something.
Actually, Mike G came up with something that might be the point.
Mm-hmm.
If Office isn't properly activated, you can't save a file.
Oh, so when you said, is this something he's purchased and you guys own, or is it like a quote unquote copy?
Well, either way, it has to be
activated. Yeah.
Now the way to find out in Excel or any other app is to click on the file menu and then go down to account and then see what it tells you.
Mm-hmm.
If it says that Office is not activated, it will not let you save anything. And that doesn't have anything to do with OneDrive. That's just a limitation of the program until you've activated it.
That would actually make sense because everything else you should be able to configure. So Mike G's onto something, I think.
Yeah.
Looking at Excel, and I know that we had a product key.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which leads you to believe that you have it. But if I'm looking at the account and I looked at the file and so I'm in the account, but it doesn't, what am I looking at?
It should tell you that it isn't activated or that it needs attention.
It doesn't say like that.
All right.
It should tell you it's activated or not. You should be able to see. We're just going to tell you where to look. You know where to look exactly.
Well, contain Excel and PowerPoint. Let me see if I manage account, what that says. No, then it brings me to the web.
Well, yeah, because it'll go to the Office portal and it'll check that license.
It says we can't find your subscription.
There it is.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Please hold. Now we can have hold music going again, Joey. Remember those old days where we had to have thinking music? The old days. Joey Burgoyne is producing today, so we get to reminisce about the old days.
Probably listening
all right,
to you.
I'm taking a look at somebody's solution to this.
Yeah.
Here's one of the things that really bugs me about how Microsoft works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they have 365 apps that are directly subscribed through an Office account.
Right.
Number two, you have these retail versions like 2019, 2021 that you have a product key for that is supposed to activate the account.
Right.
But you can't use that product key to activate the
account
software without a Microsoft Online account to connect it to.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively, you are still stuck using a Microsoft Online account to activate the software, even though it isn't required. It ends up being required because of the procedure they force you to go through.
Right.
And that creates a lot of confusion. Right. It may be that there's a problem with that account.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that way because it's saying it can't subscribe.
Right.
Or can't find a
subscription.
The online account.
Right.
Now, I'm looking at a couple of articles about dealing with that. The other place that you can go in the computer is to go into Windows settings and then go to accounts. And then there you should see your online account if you've logged into the computer with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, then it will be in a submenu. But either way, you would be able to take a look at the status of the account as far as the computer is concerned and see if it's connected right.
So how do I get to the Windows settings?
Well, you click on Start and then the little gear icon.
That's okay. We're going to have that thinking music available.
This is his computer, so I'm trying to find. Oh, here, settings. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, and then go to where? System?
Accounts.
All right, so it says he's administrator.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's logged in with a local account, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But take a look at the other options there.
Okay, so your info.
Is there any other accounts besides the admin account?
No.
So that could be the issue then, Dennis? He's not logged.
I'm not sure. What I'd like, let's go down to... Oh, go down to email and accounts.
Yep. Okay.
Now, does it show any accounts there?
It says it's for the Microsoft account. It gives his
email address for that. All right. Click on that.
Okay.
And then click manage.
Okay.
Mischief managed.
Okay, I'm here, and I'm at where it says account.
Yeah, it'll open up the account, I believe, in Edge.
Yep, that's where I am. And what am I looking for here?
Now, what you're going to look for is an option to... Okay, let's take a look here. I'm looking at how it works, at least on my computer, and then I can give you a comparison. Click on services and subscriptions over on the left.
Yep. Okay.
Now, somewhere on that page, there should be a listing for Office 2019, and it might be way down at the bottom.
No, it doesn't have anything about Office 2019. The only thing that it gives is Outlook.com at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
that would be it then, right? That it's not there.
It's possible.
Yeah. We could probably find some articles for you to try to get this activated. Because we've gone through the basics here and we're not getting any real information. But I think Mike G is onto something, that it's not an activated Office suite. It makes sense because it won't let you save other than quote unquote OneDrive.
Right.
So it's not activated or not activated properly. Sometimes you do have to call Microsoft to see if they can get the key corrected. Now, did you get that key from a legitimate source, or was it like at a tag sale?
It was, an online PC sales online store.
Mm. PC, yeah. So that's another snag. Is some of those? Was it? How much did it cost?
It was cheap.
So,
but it's I bought. Mine was fine, so.
No, I understand. It's similar. The problem is some of those quote-unquote stores may not be as reputable as you think, and the reason those keys are so cheap is because they were either used somewhere else, they might have fallen off a truck, they could be gray market, as it were. And the key may not be as valid as you think it is. And Microsoft either has to tell you, well, that key's been activated 17 times already, which does happen as well, especially for stuff that's cheap. An office suite, typically a standard office suite, will cost over $300. So if this one is one of those like $20 jobbers, you might be dealing with that problem. There is a you can still purchase an on system Office 2021. Believe it or not, even coming out with, I think, a 2024 or 2025 Office suite.
Five.
Because they realize at Microsoft, there's plenty of folks who don't want to rent it forever.
Right.
So it might just be this one's a little too cheap and that key is a little not kosher.
Well, what we can do is post a link to Microsoft's own support page.
Right.
That gives you options to troubleshoot the activation.
Yeah, because there's nothing we can do if that key is not valid. They'll either make it valid or they won't. They'll tell you it's not valid.
Okay.
But, I was going to say there's different tools and things on that page.
That'll actually run it against the key?
There's a troubleshooter that will run.
Okay.
There's a couple other things that you can do, and they're all listed there. Some of them are specific to different versions of Office. Just pay attention to 2019 while you're looking at the page.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, you guys have been very helpful as usual.
Hopefully. So. We'll see. It's hard to get around stuff like this.
We'll see if we're right.
Yeah.
This one stumped me, I have to say, because it just didn't make sense. But anyway.
We should have asked you how much you paid to start with. All right, Jenny.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for being there.
We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. So, sometimes these problems that you – so as geeks, we always assume everything's valid, everything's correct, everything's kosher, right? And there are so many and she could have a kosher key. She could.
She could.
But the symptoms that she's seeing with the key not validating to me, and it's a cheap key, means maybe not. Maybe the source – there are these software places out there that will sell you – gray market or stuff that was maybe purchased by other organizations that they aggregate. You know, it's an old Office Suite version, right? 2019. So, they came across a box full of 2019s. Who knows if they're valid or not? But if it's inexpensive or cheap, then of course, as geeks, we're fighting against Microsoft's, digital rights, and it's hard to do.
Right. And one of the problems is that Microsoft doesn't, beyond these tools that they have on this page, they don't really explain how the activation works because they don't want people to know. And here at TAB, we sometimes run into activation problems even when we know somebody is licensed.
Right.
And they should be able to use it.
Right.
And sometimes that process goes awry then.
Yeah.
And we have to troubleshoot it.
All right. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Lori in Deep River next. What's happening, Lori?
Yes, good morning. Hi.
Hi.
I posted under the name Honey Ann, so you'll see my note from earlier.
Okay.
Question, you were talking about, before I get into that, congratulations on GoNet Speed. We've been trying to get them to come into Deep River for a while now.
Keep asking.
Real glad. Yeah, we'll keep asking. But my question is, this past week or so, we received a letter in the mail about a data breach, of course. But it's from my mother-in-law who's been dead for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was just to shred the thing.
Yeah, if all accounts are closed, probably fine.
I mean, her name's off of everything.
Her name's off of everything? Okay. The accounts are still open, though, you're saying?
Yes, yes.
So,
but her name is off of everything, so it's not really an issue as far as I know, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, it probably isn't.
She never had any computer accounts. So her banking was never available online, no credit cards or anything like that. So it was never, health related, one of Yale New Haven's wonderful.
Yeah, the WeTalk one. My son got caught up in that as well. 835,000 Connecticutians got caught up in that.
Wow.
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, thank you, Epic. Thank you, Yale, for selling out. So, Anywho, so I wasn't overly concerned, but I just thought it was interesting that, what are you going to do with a woman who's been dead for 2 years for info, which...
Well, she lived in Chicago, she'd vote.
Well, this is true.
Or Bridgeport now.
She may still vote, I'm not sure. She may still be voting, active.
probably is.
Yeah, I mean, you get the mail, get it in the mail. She may still be voting.
Yeah, she'd be on the roll. So yeah, I mean, it's probably nothing to worry about. I mean, you're not going to be tricked into something about your past mother-in-law there. So you have nothing to worry about. But people do still try to use phishing schemes and stuff against those folks' accounts that are still with us. So.
Yeah. No, I know. I've received the Yale notification myself. So,
yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting, and I figured I'd pass it on, see if you guys had anything, any different plan that I should be concerned with, since I'm not going to enroll her.
No, into credit monitoring?
The credit monitoring. I can't remember if it was Cole or whoever it was.
I bet it's Experian.
And if it's Experian, you're going to be in another breach.
Any day now.
Yeah, my father-in-law.
If it hasn't happened already this year, it'll happen by the end of the year.
Every couple of years. It's awful.
Yeah, Experian's wonderful. Okay, good to know that.
All right, Laura.
Okay, but have a good weekend. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Right, bye-bye. So yeah, those data breaches, I mean, I know there's this whole story going back and forth about the hospital suing each other, or, you know, Yale's supposed to be buying ECHN, and ECHN had the big data breach, and the reason they want to renegotiate and all that fun stuff. But hey, Yale, look in the mirror, man. Your WellTalk stuff hit my lots of Connecticutians, and you seem to have skirted around the fact that you chose that product that our data was impacted by.
Right.
And now, that's a lot of data issues there. So it's not, glass houses, Let's go on to Stefan in New Britain next. Hey, Stefan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey.
Speaking of data breaches and Experian, shocked, I tell you. I'm shocked.
Yeah, no. If you go to Brian Krebs and read his story on Experian, it'll just make your hairs curl. It's crazy.
And problems with Microsoft?
I know. Come on. You listened to the show, haven't you?
Yes.
What can we do for you?
Okay. What credit site on the web is slightly more secure than Experian?
I don't know. There's three credit bureaus, right? Experian, and then I got to think of the other two, three major ones. Did they come to mind for you, Dennis?
Well, it used to be TRW, and I don't even remember anymore what they used to be called. They've all changed their names. And
yeah, I'm trying to think, though. Why did they come to mind right now? The only one that comes
Equifax.
To mind. Equifax. That's
TransUnion.
TransUnion. So there's other ones. So you could check with Equifax and TransUnion. What are you trying to do?
Check my credit score.
If you have a Discover card, they'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't have a Discover card, and my bank can't do it because I don't bank at one of the mega banks that will do that.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Equifax then. Try Equifax. You could do Experian if you want to, but Equifax would be the other, I guess, choice.
There's a site that's operated by the U.S. government and the credit reporting agencies. It's called annualcreditreport.com.
Really?
I don't know if they give you your credit score, though.
I don't either. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
Yeah.
The bank that I do bank with suggested Credit Karma. They're like, huh?
Yeah, Credit Karma is owned by Intuit. Now.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think
it might be okay. There's also an outfit called Credit Sesame, which I think is what Credit Karma used to be, in the wake of it being acquired by Intuit. Somebody just said, oh, now there's a hole in that market, so they're going to fill it up with something else.
Right. What are you going to buy? Stefan, what are you looking to buy?
I just wanted to check my credit score because I've been paying bills, and I just want to make sure that the credit score reflects the bill paying.
Gotcha. Well, it only matters. Cool. That's fair. That's fair. It only matters if you want to borrow money. So I figured you're buying a condo or a home or a car or who knows what. Gotcha.
Not in Connecticut.
All right. Gotcha.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Steve.
And I always feel better about using Microsoft products when I call your show.
Great. I'm glad. Thanks, Stefan.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, it's too funny. Yeah, I mean, it does constant going ons with Microsoft. I mean, how hard is it to activate a key, especially if it's valid? I mean, like Dennis said, even valid keys that we use for our customers sometimes aren't activated properly, and it's just a nightmare.
It is, and that's why I mean, it may be that product key they've got is valid.
Right.
And it's just that the activation has gone haywire.
Right. And so that tool might help or correct that problem.
Right. And if it comes down to it and you have to call Microsoft, maybe they'll help you.
Right. And they can be helpful.
They can be.
Yep. And they can actually take a key that is giving you trouble and make it usable. Right. Because they have the power. They have had the power. This goes back a few years where you'd have to call and say, well, we see this has been used 50 bazillion times. I guess it can use it one more time. So you shouldn't be using the same keys on the same stuff. You do have issues when that occurs. So, yeah, we've been talking to you guys without a commercial break thanks to GoNetSpeed. And we can't thank them enough for doing that. We thought it'd be a cool thing to try and try to get spend more time with you, the listener, and talk about tech news you can use and maybe spend a little more time on your questions rather than always feeling rushed. We don't have that issue now thanks to GoNetSpeed. And, again, we can't thank them enough for doing this. And if you're a sponsor out there that wants to also support this program in the same way GoNetSpeed is, just reach out to Kathy Brown over down here at Odyssey here in WTIC, and she'd be happy to hook you up with the same idea so that, you know, we can spend more time with giving you the information you are looking for as best we can. We're not perfect. And you can not have to be interrupted by all the commercials. So it's kind of like public radio without the pledging for money all the time. It's the best option.
Right.
It's the best option. So we're going to step out for our break, and then four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Get online no matter where you are on the planet. We will take your call. If you use a cell phone, it shouldn't cost you anything. We posted everything over at computertalkwithtab.com. Also, if you join the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network on Facebook, and we'll approve you, even though Zuckerberg may not like you, we'll send everything over to you there. And if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, Elon will let it get to you. We'll be back.